Hello, welcome to the Live Richly call. Today is Tuesday, March, what is this, the 13th? Yeah, March 13th, and it's 1 p.m. Eastern Time. I'm Leslie Cunningham with springwindcoaching.com, and you can get more info about these calls and free resources on my website and articles. I actually archive all of the articles from my newsletters on my website underneath the free resource section. So you can get more info at springwindcoaching.com. And we have these calls the first three Tuesdays of each month at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. And I like to start these calls by sharing a little bit about why we actually have these calls. And it's been really fascinating for me because this why we have these calls, I feel like every day that I share this content with more and more people and teach more classes and coach, you know, have a new coaching session with a client that I've had, you know, maybe even for years, I learn a little bit more about this why part. And so the reason I'm going to share some kind of new insights that I've been gaining as I've been hearing people share with me their feedback and their excitement about the benefits that they've received from either the classes, the calls, or the one-on-one coaching that I've been providing to some of the clients. So as far as the why, I passionately believe in all of us living a quality, rich life. And there are things that get in the way of living that quality, rich life for us. Sometimes it's because we have this monster debt that's looming over us. Often it's because we handle our finances separately from our partner and we're not communicating about what each of us are doing. And perhaps one partner is making all the financial decisions. And many times we feel like our money is managing us instead of us deciding where we want our money to go. So it's safe to say, I believe, that all of us desire this quality, rich life because all of us want to feel good. And as far as the deeper benefits of having these calls and gathering together, you know, the first three Tuesdays of each month, is because if we're able to get honest about how we're handling money, and how we're communicating about money in our relationship, then we become positive role models for our children. And for many parents, that's the greatest thing that, you know, that we strive for, is to pass on these great positive qualities to our children to leave a legacy. And so when we handle money with our partner in a positive way, our children pick up on it. In a class that I've been teaching here locally, one of the participants in the class was telling me last night that her son has started using the term financial date because he's seen his mom and his dad go on their financial dates three times a month. And he's beginning to understand the decisions that they make as far as deciding not to buy something right now because they're saving for a down payment on a house. And he started saying, oh, no, Dad, don't buy that right now because, you know, I want us to be able to buy a house because when we buy a house, I'll be able to have a puppy dog. And so he's actually helping hold the parents accountable as well. It's really exciting. The other reason why this matters is because we've made a choice to spend the rest of our lives with our partners. And if we can't talk about money in a connecting way, then we can't talk about the other challenging things. It's not that we can't, because we can, but by talking about something like money that we all know is the number one source of conflict and cause of divorce in the U.S., if we can talk about that hard stuff, then this paves the way for talking about the harder stuff in our relationship and creates connection with our partner without money getting in the way And that's what we're all really after in our relationships anyway, is to feel better and to have it feel more like a partnership instead of, you know, a one-person show. So in short, these calls are about living richly one week at a time. As far as today, our topic is gaining insight into your money roles. And I was, it took a few minutes before the call, and I was just reflecting on some of the things that I wanted to share. And I just felt so excited jumping into this topic. So let's start by defining, what is it that I'm talking about when I say money roles? You know, what the heck does that mean? So let me just start by defining money roles. I looked up the definition of role in the dictionary, and the definition that they had was perfect. It was defined as, a role is a socially expected behavior pattern. A socially expected behavior pattern. So isn't that perfect when we think about money roles? It's a socially expected way of behaving around money. Not only that, but we develop these patterns around how we behave with money. Now, I divide the money roles into two different categories. I'm sure there's more that we could dissect it into additional categories, but just to keep it simple, I've divided money roles into, there's the physical money roles that we have, the physical things that we actually do with our money, right? So what are some of the physical things that, the roles that we might have around how we handle money? Just maybe throw some of those examples out. They don't have to be your individual money roles, but let's just throw some ideas out there so that all of us get a really clear picture.
Paying bills.
Paying bills, perfect. That is an actual physical thing that we do. Get it, pull out the checkbook, pay the bills, get online, pay the bills. What else? What's something? What's that?
Shopping.
Shopping. And that's actually a role. Yeah, I hadn't really thought about it in that sense, but it is a role. You know, somebody might be more responsible for going shopping and spending the money for clothes or for food.
Working.
Working, bringing in the money. What about investing?
Yeah,
so one partner might have the role of actually investing money into, maybe it's a mutual fund, retirement. Maybe this is something that both partners do. So just start thinking about when it comes to money, what are the things, what are the roles, these, you know, this expected behavior pattern that you have or maybe your partner has around how each of you handle money. Who handles what in your relationship? Be thinking about that, because I'm going to ask for, you know, just some sharings here in a few minutes. Now, there's also, and there's the physical role around money, what we do with money, and there's also the emotional role. So as far as emotional roles, this is emotionally, how do we behave when it comes to handling money with our partner? For example, who makes the financial decisions? Who is it that's bringing up the money issues that occur in your relationship? What are your feelings around money? Are you fearful around it? And especially, how does this affect how you interact with your partner? What is this role that you're playing? Do you tend to be impulsive? Do you tend to be very calculated when it comes to handling money? So there's the physical role and the emotional role. I also want to share my personal story around this. A few years ago, when my husband and I started having our financial dates, I was listening to an audio cassette by Stephen Covey. Do you guys, are most of you familiar with who Stephen Covey is?
Yep.
Yeah, he wrote First Things First. He's written a ton of audio programs. What's the other, do you know the other book?
Seven Habits of Highly Effective People.
Thank you. Yeah, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Very well known in the leadership and kind of motivational genre of books. And I was listening to this audio cassette on putting first things first, and he was sharing in his personal story, he was sharing about him sitting down and having a conversation with his wife. And he asked her, you know, I don't even remember what it was around. They were having some sort of conflict and tension, and they decided to just sit down and analyze what is it that's working in their relationship. So what do they like? What's working? The second thing is, what isn't working? And the third point that they discussed was, what could be improved? What is working? What isn't working? What can be improved? These three points. And he shared in this book, audio cassette, that this is, we can take these three questions and apply them to any area of our personal life. And so I was thinking about that around the area of finances. And I thought to myself, well, what are the things that are working in our relationship when it comes to our money roles, my husband and I? What's working? What isn't working? What can be improved? So that formed the basis of this conversation that I had with my husband. And I didn't know where this conversation was going to lead us. I had no idea. I was just kind of making it up, like it did most of the stuff when we started having our financial dates or meetings to discuss money issues. And so I just came up with some of these questions that I'm going to share in more detail with all of you today. And as a result of sharing those questions, what are our money roles? What do we like? What don't we like? What can we improve? Once we had that conversation, we both took some time and just kind of answered these questions on our own, and then we sat down together and shared our responses. And as a result of having this conversation, we felt a lot more connected afterwards. On top of that, we learned about what each of us needed to do to improve our finances and our financial roles, instead of one of us yelling at the other or saying that we were doing something wrong or being defensive. And this is a big one that comes up for many couples. One partner gets frustrated with how the other partner is handling money, and we, what do? We kind of approach that partner. We're blaming or judgmental, and the other partner becomes defensive. So we don't tend to be receptive to feedback. But this conversation and these questions that I'm going to share with all of you today will help you have this conversation in a very open, connecting, not that it's going to be completely connecting and easy, but in a more receptive way than we tend to have these conversations. So more receptive, less defensive. And we started changing our money roles and creating an intention to improve the ways that we were handling money. So let's just throw some things out there. Let's start with ourselves first. Think about what are your money roles in your relationship, and just throw them out there to the group. What are some of the physical roles that you have when it comes to how you handle money? What are some of the actual physical things that you do around money?
Pay the bills.
Pay the bills. And are you the one that pretty much pays all the bills, Lois?
Pretty much lately, yep.
Okay, so pay the bills. And has that been a role that you've always had in your relationship, or has it changed from time to time?
No, it's changed from time to time. In fact, Okay. I just recently, probably in the last year, started paying the bills.
Okay. Great. So paying the bills. And, Jeff, you started to add something to
that? Yeah, I earn the money.
Okay, great.
I think all of it. And I, for the most part, say what to pay and when to pay.
Okay.
In the sense of, you know, watching the flow to make sure, hey, I have this income coming in, so, yes, you could pay that bill early, or let's wait until it's due or whatever. But my wife actually writes the checks and keeps me on top of what's due when. So she'll say, this week I need to write these checks. Is, you know, are we cool? And I check.
Great. So, and do you have a sense of, or do you know when all those, it sounds like that you have an awareness of when the bills are due? As
no,
well.
I don't. She does.
Okay. But you have.
I should
you
be.
Have, you should be.
I should be, but no, she has the awareness. She can. I'm in charge. She's in charge of tactics, and I'm in charge of strategy.
Nice. Okay.
If you want to think of it that way, and
yeah,
she gets really. I mean, we're going to get into this, but she's very, very nervous and stressed out by the whole concept.
Uh-huh.
So she just says, "Okay, if you say it's okay to write these bills, I'm doing it." But I kind of do the part where I look at it and tell her it's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm. And do you guys have a list written down as far as when bills are due? Do you keep
she
that on the
does.
Calendar? Okay.
I'm sure she does, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so tell her when to pay, and she writes the checks. And what else? Is there anything else as far as how the money rolls?
Yeah, I'd say, like, when we've had kind of bigger things, like we're not investing right now, but when we were, or when we've moved major accounts around, or when we've, you know, kind of, you know, sold a home and had some money there, I've typically consulted with her, but I've typically made those kind of larger decisions generally. You know,
okay.
Keeping her in the loop, but I generally make those decisions.
Okay. Generally making the investing decisions.
That's
pretty much the way it's been at my house.
Okay. And is there anything else that you do, Lois, that comes to mind as far as physically the roles around how you handle money or what you do with money besides paying the bills?
No, that's pretty much it. We'll do the investing, and pretty much we sit down with an investor, and but when it comes right down to it, Kent makes the decisions on it.
Okay.
And kind of tells me where we're at. So I, other than spend it, you know, at one time when I was working, I started a savings account and said, I'm not spending this except to go on a trip. And I kept putting my checks in it, and then can't remember what came up, and I spent it for something we needed to do.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. And what about the emotional roles now? Emotionally, I mean, all of us have a role that we play in our relationship when it comes to handling money, an emotional role. So, like in our relationship, my husband and I, from the very beginning, even when I wasn't researching financial information on a daily basis like I do now, but even in the very beginning, my role was more of kind of the financial guide, and the emotional role was more kind of instigating the financial conversations. So I kept it kind of top of mind. What would you say for both of you, what are the emotional roles that you play and your partner when it comes to money?
I would say that, and this, I don't think this just applies to money.
Okay, and that's often true.
Okay, so, but generally I'm a lot more optimistic,
uh-huh.
and I'm future thinking. You know, I'm thinking, you know, everything will be okay in the future, you know. And I'm okay with, you know, not having everything we want now with the idea that we will have it in the future. But I'm also, ironically, I guess, okay with splurging once in a while. Not so much with stuff as much as, like, experiences. And my wife is more, Molly is more stressed out about whether or not there's going to be, you know, money at the end of the month or month at the end of the money, as some people say. And in addition to that, she thinks stuff, not that she splurges, but she thinks it's, you know, important to have certain things. And so even though we don't get them because she doesn't feel that we could afford them at this point, she is a little bit stressed about not having, you know, let's say we need a couch, you know, and she thinks it's really important that we get a couch. But she, you know, but I think I've talked about this a little before, but she'll, you know, she'll be stressed out that we can't get a really nice couch. But if someone's willing to give us a couch, she'll be like, oh, that couch looks old or something like that, you know. So it's like some, it's this tension. And then for as far as, okay, let's just go out to dinner tonight and relax and have fun, and it's a little bit splurgy, but let's just enjoy it. She won't be able to enjoy it because she'll be thinking, we're getting a bill at the end of this. And it won't even cross my mind. I'll sign it without even thinking about it. She'll be on the way home, you know, $80 wouldn't even have leftovers. And we split an appetizer, you know? So, and I'll, you know, I'll be, I'm just, you know, having fun. So, anyway, I think it's, you know, I'm sure you could, but that's the same thing with, you know, if we're in any sort of bad situation, she'll think it's always going to be that way. You know, she has a, I call it universalizing, but I'm sure there's a word for it, that when you have, you know, two bad days, you're like, we're always having bad days. It's like, no, we had two bad days, you know.
This is how it's always going to be,
Yeah, I'm more of the, how can we turn this around, what, you know, asking questions to try to turn it into the positive. And I don't think either of us is right. I just think it's different, you know, attitudes and mental states. And then, you know, I know because of stuff we've talked about, but obviously there's some of the stuff is ingrained from our upbringing and whatnot of, you know, the rules of money and whatnot. And, and what is right, how, the right way to handle, you know, a proper thing to buy would be furniture. And experience is just gone. Well, I think, you know, life is all about experiences, and who cares about the couch you have? So there's different, you know, philosophies about that type of stuff. But the bottom line is it's all stuff you spend your time and money on. So there's a it's all connected, you know.
It absolutely is. And what I, so what stood out to me in what you said, as far as that emotional part around money, the role that you play, you tend to have more of this optimistic outlook. And Molly, it sounds like, and there's no blame here, we're just saying things as we see them. Molly tends to have more of this fearful emotional attitude when it comes to money. And just out of curiosity, have you talked at all with Molly about the spending plan concept?
No, but I talked to her about wanting to talk to her. You know, like that we should basically have a financial date and talk about it. So the challenge is right now we have a an 8-month-old that can't seem to be away from my wife for more than, you know, 10 minutes. So We had a miserably failed about a month ago date attempt, just a regular date that wound up just being miserable. That I think I also shared about that. You know, we spent money, didn't do what we wanted to do, and then I came up with an alternative, but it was going to cost money. So we were already paying $40 for a babysitter. We're not going to spend another $60 on dinner, you know. So it was like,
right.
So we, in the rain, just went back home and released the babysitters earlier. You know, it was ridiculous. It was such a bad. But anyway, the point being that I'm anxious to talk about the spending plan. I love the concept of, you know, making the priorities for the month, and that it works out real well because she can still pay the bills and I can still have my part. We just do it on the front end instead of the back end.
Right. It's a great solution for this kind of the relationship that you guys have, especially where one, and this is very common in couples, one person is more optimistic, is willing to take a little more risk. The other person, which tends to be the woman, not always, but wants a little more financial security that they can count on. They want to know that the money's going to be there. So a spending plan is a great way to work that money puzzle at the beginning of the next, you know, before the new month has arrived at the end of your current month. And then you can see how you can have spend money on these experiences and also pay the bills. So it helps meet both needs. Lois, was there anything, I'd love to hear from you a little bit as far as the emotional roles that comes up for the two of you in your relationship.
Well, the first thing I wanted to ask you was the financial date, is that out of the home or can you do that in the home? You know, we're at a point where our kids aren't here any longer. When I mentioned that to my husband and we sat down and we're working out a budget, he said, you know, I just really don't like the idea of going to a restaurant and discussing this with all these people around and other tables, hearing what we're talking about, what we have and what we don't have. So I thought, well, I guess that means we'll stay home and work on it. My thing is, when we're at home, I said, we tend to get in an argument where if we were out at dinner, we probably wouldn't because we wouldn't want to do that in a public place.
Right.
So anyway, there that's something that I have a question for you about. But as far as emotional roles, Kent has definitely always been the more conservative one. He's always been, like I said, when we were in our 20s, you know, he would talk about retirement and we had to put money away and we needed to save. And I was all for that because I wanted that security that you talk about women wanting. I wanted to know that we had, you know, we were insured and our, you know, we had savings for our kids for their schooling, and we were putting money away, and that felt good then. And as we've gotten older, and I've seen this become, you know, he's got a successful business, and we've done that, and we've put our kids through school, and, you know, at one point it got a little hard here with having them both in college at the same time, but we were able to do that for them. But I tend to be very relational. I mean, it's all about people, and I'm always wanting to do or give. You know, like when we go out to dinner with the kids and their college friends, I'm like, Kent, let's pick up the tab, you know. And consequently, that's a nice thing to do, but, you know, how many parents really do that for their kids' college friends, you know, and the kids are all real appreciative. But, and then this whole thing, like with Kent's mom getting diagnosed with cancer, it's like, well, we've got to go, you know, let's get on the plane, you know. And I looked at airfare yesterday, it was $1,000. And I'm thinking, well, we've got a wedding in North Carolina, and I know where this is going to, like Kent said, I'm not going to the wedding when I looked at the fare and it was $500, because he says, that just goes against my grain. I'm not spending $500 to fly down there on a Friday, turn around and fly home on a Sunday for a wedding. And I'm thinking, but it's a wedding. It's, you know, it's your nephew, and we got to go see him get married. You know, that's so important. And his line is, you know what, we can spend time with Mark another time and have some quality time rather than rush out there and turn around and come back just for a few vows. So I think you're seeing where the woman thinks one way and the man thinks another way. And just like when Jeff was talking about his wife, the home is a reflection of what she, of her, is the way I've always thought, and the business was my husband's reflection of him. So, and I, We have absolutely very little, I mean, we have new living room furniture, but I have a bedroom set that was Kim's great-grandmother's, and now I keep thinking, okay, I'll just be patient, we'll get to that point. And just recently, Kent said, you know, I think we need some new bedroom furniture. And I thought, and I really believe that the wife is to let the husband take the lead. I believe that, mostly that's my faith. And so I try to understand that and think, you know, okay, if he's not comfortable with this situation, you know, then I, if he doesn't think we can afford to do this at this point in time, where would I rather spend my money? And I've always said to him, I would rather travel. I'd rather go see the family than to have a new bedroom set, you know. But I'm kind of at the point in our life, it's like, okay, we've reached this age. Now, when do we start to get to just, you know, and I don't know if you ever get there, and I don't think you do. You know, where can we just do what we want to do, take that trip? You know, we were very conservative, did not take the kids on trips. Like a lot of our friends would take people on trips when they were, like, to Hawaii. And, but we have spent our money going back to see family, and that's what our trips have been. And that's important, too. But consequently, I think I said earlier, the four of us have not gotten to take any of those major big trips. But you know what? We're not dead yet.
Well, and this is what's great about these conversations and what both of you are sharing. And in all relationships, we each individual has a different way of handling money because of their upbringing and because we all value different things. And whatever it is that we value, we are willing to spend money on that. If, you know, Kent values more the security of having a certain amount of money in his retirement or not spending a certain amount of money on an airplane ticket, if he values that, then our money choices tend to reflect our values. And what you were sharing is that you valued relationships. And so your money choices reflect that value. Now, the beauty in what each of you have shared in listening to these sharings is that we can see, if we step back and take a broader perspective of all of this, that Lois, you're offering something of value in your relationship with Kent, and vice versa, Kent with in his relationship with you is offering something of value, a gift in how he handles money, as you are offering a gift in how you handle money. Same with Jeff and Molly. And so we want to see this as, okay, how can we learn a little bit from my partner? Because there are some great things about how they handle money, their roles with how they handle money. And but what often happens is we just get frustrated with it and we get into arguments. So, you know, the question that I want to ask both of you, and then I'm going to jump right into sharing these four steps to identifying and upgrading your money roles. So these are some things that you can take away from this call today and talk to your partner about. And then I'm also going to share six questions that you'll want to ask your partner in a financial date. So before I jump into asking that question, let me just address real quick the other thing that you brought up, Lois, as far as where to have your date. It's very important that it be a place that both of you are comfortable with. If you can also experiment. I have couples that go out to restaurants, to coffee shops, that go out to a park somewhere. Maybe there's a more private restaurant, or, you know, a restaurant that has a little more private seating that, you know, Kent might be more receptive to. And, yeah, you know, some couples, it does not work at all to meet in a public place because they get into an argument. And then other couples, it's worked really great for them because, as you mentioned, Lois, when they're having these conversations at home, it gets more out of hand, and that's kind of a way of keeping it in check and keeping it calm and more connecting. So it doesn't, you don't need to have it the same place every time. I also have couples that, you know, meet in their home and create a special place in their home. My husband and I have had our financial dates hiking on the trail. We've had them sitting in front of the fireplace sipping wine. We've, you know, had them at coffee shops. So it completely varies. So be willing to experiment if both of you are willing to do that. The last question to kind of tie up that we've been having is this working for you? The way that you, the roles that you guys have in your relationship with your partners, are your money roles working for you? And both of you have mentioned things that suggest that they aren't, that it isn't working. And are there things, there are probably things that work really well in addition to those things that don't work well as far as how you handle money. So just think about that, you know, for yourself. Is this working for you? The answer is probably no, and in some ways, yes. So if it isn't working for you, I encourage you to experiment with different ways of handling money and different roles. But more importantly, before jumping to that, I really encourage you to have a conversation about money roles. If you get nothing else from this call and all you do is have a conversation, a financial date with your partner to discuss your money roles, then that is all that I'm hoping for each of you to take away from this call today, is to actually do that. So four steps to identifying and upgrading your money roles. The first one I just mentioned, conversation. The first step is conversation. Have a conversation with your partner to discuss your money roles. And I'm going to be telling you the six questions that you want to ask, so you'll get those specific questions. The second step is be honest and become aware. Be honest and become aware of your own money roles that you're playing in your relationship, as well as your partner's. In these questions that I'm going to give you, you will have an opportunity to share how you perceive your partner's money roles to be, and your partner will have the opportunity to do the same. So if you just set an intention to be honest, both of you, when you sit down to have this conversation, just say, you know what, let's just set an intention to be honest and stay connected and not bat, you know, butt heads with one another. Let's just try and be honest, because there will be some things that come up that are not easy to hear. The first one, have a conversation. Second, be honest and become aware of your money roles. The third one, this is so important, get curious. Get curious. Ask yourself, are our money roles serving us? Another way of phrasing that is the way we're currently handling money, is it working for us? And the answer to those questions are, if one person feels like it isn't working, then the answer is, it isn't working. Because we're in a partnership. And we can debate the other person about, wait, no, this is how it is. This is working. This is good. But the truth is, when you're talking about a partnership and you're working as a team, if one person in the team isn't feeling satisfied with it, then it's not working for the team, you know, the entire team. And so just be honest about it and be curious. The fourth step is, I love this one, ask for an upgrade. So ask your partner and discuss the possibilities of upgrading your roles and responsibilities. Often we forget that we can do this, or we demand it or insist that it happen in a situation where we come from a more, you know, accusatory, we're more accusing our partner. But what if we were to, as a couple, decide what you want, you know, as a couple, decide what you want to improve around your money roles? decide what it is that you want to improve or change when it comes to your money rules. And the last part of this is to create a plan for improvement. Ask for an upgrade. Often we get stuck in saying, this is how my partner is, this is how it's always been. And while there may be some truth as far as how your partner is, we also give away some of our power when that becomes an excuse or a reason not to do it any different. You guys, I think you're probably following me. We've all had these conversations at one time or another, probably with our friends. Oh, this is how my partner handles this. You know, that's just how it is, and it's not going to change. And you can feel, you know, I did a whole call about this a couple of weeks ago as far as taking responsibility. You can feel the shift in your power and your ability to just how you feel about your relationship when you shift it from, oh, this is how Jane is or this is how Martin is, to, all right, how can I accept responsibility for this? And part of accepting responsibility is asking for an upgrade. So those are the four steps to identifying and upgrading your money rules. Have a conversation. Number two, be honest. Number three, get curious. Number four, ask for an upgrade. And here are the questions. And these are some really powerful questions. So here are six questions that you want to ask when you sit down with your partner to have this conversation. First, for starters, I would recommend that you tell your partner in advance, hey, you know, honey, can we set aside a time to have a date to talk about our money roles in our relationship? And, or, you know, or call it a money meeting, whatever it is that you need to call it. And decide when that's going to happen. Now, I teach a whole process on how to have a financial date, things you can do to create connection, because a lot of people do become defensive, especially when we have, you know, 20 years, 10 years, 30 years of interacting a certain way around money. So I teach an entire process and classes on how to have this date. And for now, the important thing is just to have the conversation. You don't need to figure out how to follow specific formulas and steps. So for the first question, define your money roles. Kind of like what we did on the call here. Ask your partner, sit down with a piece of paper and, you know, maybe do this at separate times or sit down during your date together. That might be easiest for people that are really busy. And write down your money roles. What are the physical money roles that you have? What are the tasks and jobs? And you want to ask these three questions around money roles. What do you do? So what does my partner do around money? What roles does my partner handle? What roles do I handle around money? What do I do? And third, what do we do? What are the roles that we handle together as a couple when it comes to money? So define your money roles. The second question that you want to ask is also a question that I asked during this call. What is your emotional money role that you play? And maybe give yourself a fun title. You know, what is the emotional role that I play around money? And what is the emotional role that my partner plays around money? So each of you are going to answer both of these questions for yourself. Third, let me know if I'm going too fast, if you guys, for those of you that are writing. The third question that you want to ask is, are both of you involved with the other's money roles? Now, when we work as a team, one person is going to have certain skills and abilities that maybe the other person lacks or doesn't shine in as much. And it doesn't mean that to say that both of you, to ask this question, are both of you involved, doesn't mean that both of you have to be handling the same responsibilities. But both of you want to make sure that you're communicating around it. The biggest challenge that I see for couples is when there is no communication. And when they make a commitment to start having these financial dates 3 times a month, there is ongoing communication, so that immediately solves that problem. So are both of you involved in the interaction, in the communication, and the buy-in? Or is just one person making the decisions? And how can both of you become more involved? So be thinking of the responses that you shared at the beginning of this call and, you know, the areas of conflict that both of you identified. How could you become a little more involved? So maybe it's a matter of, you know, Molly could type out a list of when the bills are actually due, and Jeff could have that above his desk. It doesn't mean, you know, Molly can still assume her role, but how can we make it easier for the other person? Because what tends to happen is we abdicate. We give our, you know, our power away, not our power away, but our responsibility away, and we put that burden on our partner. Okay, you tell me what to do, and, you know, I've been working with a couple, and I can see how the woman is paying the bills, and the husband has been upset because a lot of the bills have been overdue, and yet I can, and so he's been really frustrated with his wife, and yet I can also see how he's avoided assuming some of the responsibility of knowing when those bills are due. It's easy to blame her, but there's a part where he needs to step up as well. And that comes with becoming more involved. What's the way that you can become more involved? Are there any questions about that part, that question? Because I think that's a really powerful piece. Okay. The fourth question is, what are your money role likes? What are the things that you like about how you handle money and about how your partner handles money, the roles that your partner plays around money, or performs, I guess would be a better way to phrase it. What do you like? Fifth one is, what don't you like? What do you dislike about your money roles and your partner's money roles? And the sixth question that you want to ask is very simple. What are the money role improvements that you could make? What would you like to do different with your money roles, how you handle money, and how your partner handles money, and how you could handle money together as a couple? So answer these individually for yourself and your partner, your own perceptions, and then come together and share your responses. And before you start sharing, you might want to try an activity, you know, do something that helps both of you feel a little more connected to each other. If prayer is something that works for you, you might want to pray together first. Or you might want to just...
Neck.
Did you say neck?
I did.
Oh, Jeff, that's so great.
What are the kids calling it these days? I'm just kidding.
You just... That was perfect. You might want to kiss each other.
Oh, that's allowed?
Sure. Just don't get sidetracked.
Exactly. Lovingly look into one another's eyes.
Yeah. State an intention. Say, you know, I really intend and want to be willing to stay connected during this conversation and to not be defensive. You know, you can share that. There's a whole list of things that I give in the book that I'm working on and in the classes, detailed list. But just think about what's a way that you could connect. Any questions or comments. I'd especially love to hear some comments about how you think this might be helpful or maybe not helpful for you as a couple. That's fine to share, too. How do you think this might help by having this conversation?
Well, I think it'll help just because we each already have preconceived ideas of what the other one is thinking or how they feel.
Mm-hmm.
And I think to be honest and to sit down and actually and not become defensive, to keep that in the forefront of our minds.
Mm-hmm.
Because after 30 years of marriage, you definitely have what you think. I sit here and I think, oh, I know what his emotional roles are, but I really don't know. So maybe we, no, I think it'll be good to sit down and share it.
And Lois, even if you do know and you are correct, to hear Kent's perspective and, you know, his thoughts on it, even if he says the same thing, is, you know, or, you know, even if he says something completely different, I guess that would be the hardest thing to hear. Maybe they don't agree with us. You know, is so insightful because we don't sit down and have these conversations. I was surprised when my husband and I sat down and had this conversation how similar our insights were. And so all of a sudden we were working on the same page instead of working against each other. We both had this buy-in because we both agreed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, I know one thing that has always, you know, it's kind of around this think big thing, but
mm-hmm.
like it's a balance because I feel like when it comes to money and really anything, career or whatever it is, I've always felt like we're not where we want to be today, but I want to think huge for the future.
Mm-hmm.
And I think my wife's more of being realistic, maybe even pessimistic about today, but realistic for the future.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I might be a little less realistic for today and more idealistic, like it's okay, like I know where we are, but I'm thinking that's okay because it could be huge in the future, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so how that applies, those differences, is because when you're making budgets and plans and ideas, you know, if I want to make a whole lot of money and be in a really big house, you know, that might
mm-hmm.
be really different than, you know, another vision, a more realistic vision, which is going to affect everything. So that different view, I don't know if it would affect the roles, but it certainly would affect the tone of the conversation. So it would be good to know that and revisit that, because I know that's how it was in the past, but we haven't had that conversation in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, probably we haven't had a real conversation about hopes and dreams around money since we've had kids, and we have three, so
uh-huh.
I think, you know, our oldest just turned 5, so it hasn't been that long, but
yeah,
I think that that could bring out a lot of things to see if I'm, you know, I think that, but maybe she does have big dreams now.
And her realism or realistic way of handling money could very well be the strength that helps the two of you create this idealistic vision that you have.
Oh, yeah, I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, you know, I'm very lucky compared to, you know, I think a stereotypical situation is the guy is trying to earn as much as he can and his wife is always spending it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it was in my house when I grew up.
Mm-hmm.
My mom could spend it twice as fast as my dad could make it, that was for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, eventually divorced over it. And I think that was definitely the main issue. And I'm much more of a spender than my wife is. And I'm also earning it, so it kind of works. It works a lot better that way. So in other words,
well,
I think I'm pretty lucky to have such a frugal wife.
Yeah, and there are ways that this helps us. I think the biggest challenge, I'll just share this and then we can end, kind of tie up the call, but I know I believe one of the greater challenges that we have is in relationships is being open to a different way of handling money, because we all, I love to always to say this, that we, you know, we all believe that our way is the right way. And if each partner could start seeing a little bit more open, just being a little more receptive to handling money in a different way, that's all it takes to learn to create a new way of handling your money roles or a new way of conversing, because we can see that there are infinite possibilities. If we say we want to achieve a certain goal, we know in our rational mind that there's more than one way to achieve that goal, right? There's 100, there's 1,000 possibilities of how to go about doing that. And so in our relationships around money, and this has been hard for me, I'll confess it, you know, is to be open to some of the ways that my husband has suggested. And it's been great because I have stretched and we've talked about it. And it's not just a simple solution, just a one-time deal. It sometimes has taken several financial days. And I've stretched and he stretched. So together we've created something entirely new. And what a lot of couples do is they just continue my way or your way instead of a new our way. So that's what I'm encouraging through this conversation about money rules, is for you to find your, to pave your new path to our way instead of the old way. So thank you. We're a little bit past the hour, and thank you so much for sharing. I really, really appreciate it. And we'll have our last call for March next Tuesday.
Awesome.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
The moderator has disconnected.